I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Fog is disorienting. It seems insubstantial, but it prevents you from seeing what is on the horizon. You know the familiar landmarks of the landscape or seascape are out there in the fog, but there is no way to figure out where they are or that they even exist anymore. Things appear as we walk into the fog, though. We find the trees, they're there, the grass and the birds, even though our minds may have gone as dense as the fog itself. The outcropping on the sea is another matter. You cannot risk sailing into the fog without a light to tell you where the outcropping is exactly, so you will avoid it. The light doesn't lift the fog to give you a clear view. It only reminds you that the fog is preventing you from seeing the rock. We have been experiencing a lot of fog on our horizon these days, literally and metaphorically, hey? The familiar, long-standing things we have come to rely upon in life are clouded in a mysterious fog. This is so because human beings seem to be taking more delight in being dense, in disorienting us from being able to see the horizon, know the truth, know life, and know where to go then and how to steer away from the dangers. There seems to be more delight in walking in fog and creating fog than finding a path through it. What a mystery we are as humans. We know the science behind the occurrence of fog, but create our own foggy atmosphere in doing so. We have done all we can to demystify most of life, including God. There has been an all-out effort in our modern world to clear up all mysteries. This effort has not been able to explain the real presence of spiritual things that move us deeply, though. Things like love and beauty, joy and music. These things that make sense of the mysteries of human life, but without explanation. Like, how can we explain the way that we feel when we look up at the canopy of a leafless tree and see the sky through the branches and those fractals that are created with that structure allow us to transcend the physical experience that we are having. Somehow there are 1,001 moments in our lives that have reached our souls and helped us make sense of things without explanation. The deepest mystery humans have tried to answer is the mystery of God. Whole systems have been created to try to penetrate this mystery, particularly among the pagan religions, like the divinities of Isis or Mithras. And the Jewish people knew a strong sense of mystery as they tried to understand truth about how and why God made the world and what their purpose is meant to be in the middle of it all. Paul is drawing from this tradition as he writes to us today. We hear his writing to Corinth. Paul went to Corinth to proclaim the mystery of God to the people there. Little churches popped up throughout the city after he came in AD 49. The city of Corinth was at the crossroads of the isthmus of Greece on a road paved in 6 BC to connect two harbors. Merchandise and philosophies were exchanged between Italy and Asia at this significant crossroad. Corinthians then were masters of commerce and wealth and became quite heady about it. They thought of themselves as wise and mature. Their smugness was making them dense and difficult for Paul to teach them true wisdom. This isn't the first letter he writes to them to get them to see through the fog of their own self-sufficiency and self-congratulation on the matters of God's mysterious wisdom. He wrote a previous letter to them, which took years for them to respond to, partly due to Paul's absence from 51 to 52. Now he writes from Ephesus, trying to show them in every possible way the folly of their version of wisdom, which keeps Jesus Christ and his crucifixion at bay. The mystery of God is too much for their adolescent minds to grapple with. The mystery in the display God gave in weakness and lowliness, by dying a despicable death. Paul's message is the wisdom of Jesus, and he isn't standing on a stage wearing a wireless microphone before the backdrop of some sexy PowerPoint presentation doing a TED talk to explain it. He previously wrote in this letter, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to abolish things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is sticking to it, to this message, even though he is getting significant pushback from those who see themselves as wise and mature. Paul is doing this because he is confident of the landmarks of the seascape of the mystery of God. What is not wise, not been demonstrated in Christ crucified, is the proprietary rights they are exercising over what to teach and what to believe based upon wealthy patrons of these house churches. The tensions between Paul and the Corinth church are based on sociological lines. Since the wealthy would be responsible for patronage both for the house churches and for itinerant teachers and scholars, the scholars Thiessen and Fee, today's scholars, suggest that the rival factions represent rival house churches and patrons. Even more, the patrons are rivaling Paul, fostering anti-Paul sentiments in the church, promoted by patron leaders who dabbled in wisdom tradition themselves, and were examining Paul according to what they thought was to be the message to proclaim. Paul is hoping they will truly mature, grow up out of the typical adolescent behavior of manipulating things to one's own advantage. Wisdom that leads to a deeper understanding of the mystery of God is not instrumental reason. That is, you're seeking the means of gaining achievement in some sciences or techniques, and in this case, theology. Rather, it is more to do with insight that notes ways of thinking and judging with wise insight that brings habits of wisdom to bear on action and human life. True wisdom is indeed for the spiritual, for those who experience the mystery of God, transform them to be like Christ, to act as Christ, and live in community as Christ, to show that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another, or to empty ourselves of ourselves and take the form of a slave, as Paul wrote to the Philippians. The Spirit shines a light in the fog to unveil what Jesus accomplished and help us see it as wisdom for life, for living with the living God. We, along with the Corinthians, would do well to not be so disoriented by this and realize the Jesus way alone can help us see the dangerous outcroppings on our social seascapes, personified in those who put themselves up on pedestals with a bit of patronage to back themselves up. God has revealed what he prepared for those who love him through the Spirit, Paul writes. What he has now revealed, what we can see and hear and conceive in our hearts, comes to us because the Spirit helps us in these things, helps us with learning what is wise, helps us understand mysteries, the incomprehensible nature of Christ crucified, helps us to make sense of it, that we might live it out as well. Wisdom is the lighthouse beaconing to our modern knowledge keepers, even, that if they don't pay attention to her, they will crash the luxury yacht they are sailing on the rocks. For all the knowledge of the world is only as good as it leads us to do what is needed to be done. Those who do not want to search out the mysteries of God through all their research and teaching will foolishly be sailing blind and eventually crash and sink. Sacrificial action is what true wisdom is based on. Our Western universities were founded on the search for such wisdom. Theology, the study of God, was the queen of the sciences during the medieval period. Theology was elevated above all other disciplines because of its direct engagement with divine revelation and its role as the foundation and unifying standard of all knowledge. Ironically, what was considered the Dark Ages was more like an age where the light of theology began to lay the foundations for modern thought. We in the church, situated in a society depending upon the knowledge of the university, have been gravely affected by its current state of self-congratulation and dismissal of theology as of any true consequence. Maturity and true wisdom cannot be reflected in their work without an experience and acknowledgement that God's Spirit is at the heart of it all. The Spirit of all science is always working to lead us to transformative experiences, helping us humbly respond in action to what needs to change in us and through us. I recently went to a panel discussion at the Victoria Art Gallery. The artists of an installation on ceremonial textiles of a certain religion were going to speak about their work. What seemed clear to me about the implicit call to actions that would be more sustainable for the environment while keeping the religious practice of their faith were not at all what the artists intended for me to see. I discovered this by asking the question at the end of a Q&A time. I asked them about this exhibit. I asked them how it may have been received by their religious leaders so as to consider better sustainable practices. And I was met with considerable pushback. Oh, no, we weren't aiming for that. We were not necessarily aiming for any takeaway, any action, though it was quite explicit and implicit throughout the installation. You see, patronage doesn't necessarily lead to teaching wisdom, that is, knowledge that makes us act upon it for the better of the world. And I think this is so in academia as much as it is in the church. The church has typically fostered patronage and bent over backwards to listen to the dictums of the wealthy and privileged. This model of church is not what Paul is encouraging in Corinth. We are to seek out the mystery of God. And our starting and ending point is the truth that the meek and the humble will inherit the earth. That God has worked through what is lowly and despised to help us to know what we can do then to see ourselves raised up and to raise up society to be full of the life of God for all people. We are the light of the world, it says. People on the rock of Christ crucified, sitting there in the fog. We are to let our light shine before others, and that light is actually our actions. We are meant to let the world see our good works and give glory to the living God. May we have wisdom and knowledge to do this, and know that the Spirit is in us to inspire us, to give us ideas, and to empower us to do so. Amen.